Turn your Bibles to Psalm 119, if you would. We're going to continue our study on the wonderful Word of God. And I do believe that as we are faithful to the Lord, and we're faithful to read His Word, and we're faithful, we search and seek after Him, it will become more wonderful to us. It will be something that we desire. It will be something that we long for the more time we invest in. Have you noticed that the more time you invest in something, the closer you get to it? It just happens that way. The same is true with the wonderful Word of God. Well, if you are able, out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you'll please stand, we'll read Psalm 119. And tonight we'll be reading a new set of verses. Verses 25 through 32. This is the Hebrew letter Daleth. And we're going to read these verses. We'll read them all together. Verses 25 through 32. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck to thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Now, we've talked about the wonderful Word of God. We've talked about the several different words associated with the Word of God. Testimonies, judgments, all the different things, commandments, statutes, works, all the different words, and how they kind of work with different aspects of the Word of God, okay? Of God's Word and His ways and how His things work. And then recently we've been looking at the attitude of the psalmist and how he feels about these things. You see, as we get to know something, we develop a way we feel about it. We develop a perspective. We develop an attitude about this or that. For instance, my attitude toward avocados is not very good. Okay? I've tasted them. I've tried them. For me, it is not guacamole. It's yuccamole. So I don't like it. All right? Yes, I've tried it. Okay? But my attitude toward it is not very good. If it comes near me, I just kind of push it aside. I don't care for that. Donuts, on the other hand, coffee, you know, just keep bringing it by. My attitude toward that is very favorable, right? Pizza, you know, all of that works. Don't we develop attitudes about different things, all right? And so we develop an attitude about this or that. For instance, coming to church, right? I've heard people say this. I was drugged when I was a kid. I was drugged to church Sunday morning, drugged to church Sunday night, drugged to church Wednesday night. You know, that's how they feel about it. I remember hearing a testimony of someone that they said that the reason why they were the way they were was because when they were younger, being in church was dead and lifeless and just mechanical and such and so forth. So they hated church. And then I've talked to people or I've heard people say that church was a delight and church was a joy. And listen, that's how it should be. When we come around the corner, I'll explain in a minute a little bit better, but when we come around the corner here, the children are excited to see the church. From the time that they were very small, as we would drive from our home to Trinity, as soon as we got to a certain place and they could see the church, they would all say, "Church! We're at church." You know, I'm glad. I'm glad my children have a positive attitude toward going to church. That's wonderful. I think adults should have a positive attitude about going to church. But we develop an attitude. We develop a taste, if you will, for things. And that's how we want to view what the psalmist is writing. And you know what? I told you before, many people believe these are Psalms of David. And I tend to agree with that. But can I tell you, he's known as the psalmist of Israel, right? He spent time with these things in the fields and, of course, throughout his life, writing about these things. And we've read the Psalms of David, right? And how he has great feeling and great expression of what he's trying to convey. So as we take a look and see these things, I want you to get the feeling. I want you to kind of get in his mind and see what he saw in the Word of God and the words of God. And then adapt that to your life. Because we have to come from the position that the Word of God is wonderful. We've got to get to that place. Like I said, when I take a bite of something that I've decided I like, it is wonderful. Okay? And if it's something I've decided I don't like, it's not wonderful, is it? Well, the same is true. If you say, well, church hymns, they're boring. Well, they're only boring because you've decided they're boring. Or, you know, the reading the Word of God, it's just an old book. Well, it's because you've already decided it's just an old book. But if you decided that church hymns are exciting and they're uplifting and they're enlightening and they're strengthening to you, then you're going to have a good time singing about the things of God from the hymn book. And if you decided that the Word of God is wonderful, if you said, hey, the Word of God is wonderful, and when you read it, it's going to be wonderful to you because it's about your attitude. So first of all, let's look at what the psalmist says. I love in verse 25 this statement. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Now, brother, sister, let's use a little bit of a country Texan talk. Ain't that the truth? Huh? Yeah. That is the state of man. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Hey, listen. At our core, we are undone. We are the natural man. We are the carnal person. At our core, that's who we are. Have you ever talked to those people who just think that mankind are just generally good people? Wrong. Man is not generally good. Man is generally sinful. We are. We're cursed. We are condemned already in our natural state. But by the grace of God, we are freed from that. But the psalmist says, and we can just say David, he says that my soul cleaveth. In other words, my tendencies are to my natural state. So my soul cleaveth to this. I just can't let it go. Now we can go and we can read Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8 and understand certainly that this is the case. And Paul described very eloquently how this battle and this fight between the flesh and the spirit goes. Because it does. So what is the help? Well, he says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. So in other words, that's where I want to dwell, want to go back to that. And I want to stick to that because that's where my natural state is. So then he says, quicken. That's a wonderful little word there, quicken. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Quicken thou me according to thy word. So what separates us from the natural state? The wonderful word of God. In the cover of my wife's little purse Bible that she has, her parents gave that to her before she went to Bible college, I think. And It's written a statement in there, which is not original by her parents, but it is a very good one. It's, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. It's true. What can separate us from cleaving to that dust, to the natural side of us, to that natural carnal flesh that we have to deal with. It's the wonderful word of God. He says, quicken thou me according to thy word. The word quicken means to make alive. And I love this word, to vivify. Yeah, vivify, vivify, vivify. Say that a couple times fast. It's just a fun word. Words are fun sometimes. I don't like them very much, but they're fun. To vivify, to revive or resuscitate. As from death or an inanimate state. Now, isn't that the truth? That's a Webster's definition of the word quicken. What is equated to death? Being in the flesh. Being in the natural state. Right? And so we have that. It is very true. It says to revive or resuscitate as from death or an inanimate state. In the flesh, we are dead, right? We are inanimate. But in Christ, we are alive. We are animate. That's how we're supposed to be. As lively stones, right? We're supposed to abound. We're supposed to live. We're supposed to all these things. So we have that word quicken is to make alive. And so as we cleave to the dust, without this book, we are inanimate. We are dead. We are lifeless. But with this book, we are made alive. We are resuscitated. We are brought back to life. God wants us to live. He wants us to have His Word and be quickened spiritually. Go to Psalm 71. Just over a few chapters, if you will. Or Psalms. They aren't technically chapters. Psalm 71, look at verse 17. Okay, again, David. But we're listening to his heart. Okay? We're trying to figure out why he says these things about the wonderful word of God. Look at verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto I have declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things. O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. He talks about the quickening of his life by God. God is the one that quickens. He's the one that brings alive again. And his word with him. You see, God and his word cannot be separated. They are one. They are together. This is God's, the mind of God. These are the words of God. And they bring life. And they revive. And they vivify. Yes, that's the word of the week, okay? Vivify. They make alive. Psalm 80, verse 17, David says, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man whom thou madest strong for thyself, so will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. He said, to quicken, to make alive, means to turn us. Hey, when we turn away from our sin and turn to Jesus Christ, that brings salvation. Right? And guess what happens? We have this physical attachment to want to turn back to the flesh. So I told you, Paul already gave a great illustration of that, and we'll talk about it here in Romans chapter 8 in just a minute. But there's a constant turning. We're drawn. He said, my soul shall cleave to the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Are you seeing the plea of the psalmist and how God is the instrument of quickening, and God's word is the instrument of bringing back to life something that wants to go back to death? It's a battle. It's a fight. It's a struggle that we all face. And listen, if you don't face that, I want to talk to you. I do, because I want to figure out how you avoided that. Because it's tough. It's in all of us. It's a natural thing for human beings. Psalm 143, verses 10 and 11 says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, and for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. We get ourselves into trouble. Just walking around on this earth, we get into trouble. We need God to bring us out of it. He is the one that makes alive. He is the one that vivifies. He is the one that revives and resuscitates as from death or an inanimate state. His word. God in his word. You see, the psalmist was just trying to very delicately describe this natural state. He says, my soul cleaves to the dust. That's very natural for us to do. And here's what's unnatural for us to do. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 1. We've read this a few times over the last few months, but it's good to look at it again. This is the struggle we go through. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That, by the way, that's quickening right there. To be made alive. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. What did he say? My soul cleaveth to the dust. Quicken, make me alive. So in other words, if we are carnally minded, that's death. So if we're dead, we need to be made alive again. We need to be revived. We need to be resuscitated. We need to be vivified. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's how it works. If we cleave to the dust, we need to be resuscitated. And that's by the word of God. By the word of God. He says here, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. He said, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Does he? Have you been born again? Yes. Then you have no business cleaving to the dust. No business. But it's a natural thing, isn't it? Something we all fight with from time to time. Maybe some more than others. But it's a true statement. We've got to be quickened by the word of God. Just a few words from Jesus' ministry in John chapters 5 and 6. For as the Father raiseth up the dead
and quickeneth them. Even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. He's the one that does it. He does the work of making alive again. He does the work of resuscitating us. And he does it through his Spirit. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the psalmist says, my soul cleaveth to the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Let's look at verse 26 now. If you'll notice, we're going to see here that in this letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the psalmist is kind of focusing on his frailties, on the things that are difficult for him in his life. This thing about his soul cleaving to the dust. He's begging, he's asking God to make him alive again according to his word. And now he says this, he says, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. So here's a statement. He says, God, I have told you, I've declared my ways, and you heard me. All right? Now we know that the Bible says the way of man is not in himself. Right? We know that we can't find our own way. And the psalmist says here, he says, hey, God, I've told you my ways, and you have heard me. So look what he says. He says, teach me thy statutes. So he says, here's another weakness. First, my weakness is my soul cleaveth to the dust. And now I have my own ways, and I've told them to you. These are my ways. And you've heard me, now teach me thy statutes. See, he says, this is my weakness, and this is how I'm going to overcome it. He said, my weakness is to cleave to the dust. I'm going to be made alive again by your word. I've declared my ways unto you, and you heard me, and now you're going to teach me your statutes, your ways. The things that are going to govern my life by what you say, not what I say. So this word teach is to instruct, to inform, to communicate to another the knowledge of that of which he was before ignorant. Did you catch that? It says to instruct, to inform of something that we were ignorant to before we were told about it. You ever sat in maybe a class when you were a child, right? And your teacher got up and they began to tell you about something that you knew nothing about. You had not even heard that before, right? Yeah. What were they doing? They were teaching you. They were communicating something to you that before you were ignorant of. But now you know about it. Can I tell you something that we were ignorant about? Salvation. Yeah. Salvation. How about this? The love of God. We were ignorant about that. Doesn't the Bible say that we love him because he first loved us? Now, we didn't love him first. He loved us first. Before we heard about the gospel or the word of God, we had no idea of it. We were ignorant of it. But God showed us. You know what? Living the Christian life. Knowing that maybe this is wrong or that is wrong. Hey, listen, in the military, ignorance is no excuse. They have a law that governs the military. It's about this thick. Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you know it or not. You're accountable to it. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Well, I didn't know that was a rule. Well, too bad. You're in trouble anyways. And you know what? The Bible says the same thing about us.
Ignorance is no excuse. So the psalmist says, hey, look, I told you my ways. He says, teach me. Teach me. Do you have a teach me attitude? Do you? Do you really want to know the ways of God? Do you really want to know the statutes of God? Do you really want to know how God wants you to live? Or do you want to do it your own way? You say, God, I have my own way of doing things. You're just going to have to work with it. Okay. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't have to work with it. He just may decide not to work with it. And just leave you alone. To your own devices. To your own ways. And guess what that leads you to? Destruction. Misery. Regret. It does. It does. It will not lead you in the right way. We need to be instructed. We need to be informed. We need the Word of God and the statutes of God to be communicated to us. Of how God wants us to do things. How God wants us to live. In Exodus chapter 18, God says this, hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Moses said this. God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Hey, these were God's people. They had an objective, and it was God's objective. And they needed to be taught. They needed to be shown because they were ignorant of these things. Folks, can I tell you, we are ignorant of things sometimes because, don't forget, we are but flesh. We are human beings. And we need to be shown the right way. Oh, by the way, Christian, believer, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Hooray! We have a teacher living inside of us. Isn't that wonderful? Yes! Hey, you said, I'm just ignorant of these things and I don't know any better. Really? Maybe you just haven't been listening to the teacher. Well, I can't hear him. Last I checked, that was our fault, not his. If we can't hear him. What does the teacher tell the student? Open your ears. Sit up straight. Be still. Pay attention. Right? Yeah? Maybe we need to follow some of that advice in our own lives. Hey, listen, if you're to the point where you can't hear the Holy Spirit of God, there's two solutions. Okay? Either open your ears and listen, or get saved so that He can be in you and speak through you. That's it. So we've declared our ways and God heard us and He says, teach me thy statutes. In Proverbs, Solomon said, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We've got to be taught. We've got to be taught. And when we're taught, we'll increase. We'll be wiser. If we're a just man, we'll increase in learning. We'll receive what's being communicated to us. In Ezekiel, the Bible says, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. When we actually receive teaching, it gives us discernment. Discernment. Isn't discernment one of those qualities that a Christian needs? Isn't it? Yeah, we're going to know the difference between what's right and wrong, right? We need to know what's good and bad, and what's truth and what's not truth, and what's the way of God and what's not the way of God. Doesn't he say we're supposed to discern things? But how do we know if we're not taught by God and his word? How do you know if something's right if you're not comparing it to the right thing? You see, the statutes of God are the ruler. They're what you compare with. If you compare to your own reason, to your own righteousness, to your own judgment, the comparison is wrong. We need to have a true standard of comparison. What is the standard of comparison? This book. That's why he said, God, I've declared my ways unto you, and you've heard me. Now teach me thy statutes. Not what I think is right, but what you say is right. In Acts chapter 5, it says, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Remember the Pharisees, they warned the apostles not to teach this name of Jesus. He says, and behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Hallelujah. Have we filled Wiley with our doctrine? Or the neighborhood where we live with the doctrine of Jesus Christ? Are the city officials beating down our doors? Saying, hey, well, we don't like what you're doing here. It says here, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Hey, that's where they said, look, we know the ways of man. We're going to follow God's statutes. We're going to follow God's rules. We're going to measure things according to God's design, not according to our own or yours, for that matter. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul was a great teacher. He taught some great preacher boys, if you will. You have Titus and Timothy and others, of course. But here in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says this in verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. This Paul says, hey, Timothy, you've learned these things, and if you bring these into remembrance to the people, you're a good minister of Jesus Christ. Because these are the ways of God. These are the statutes of God. And they need to be passed on from generation to generation. Remember what he told him in 2 Timothy 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He's establishing a line of teaching from generation to generation. Of what? Of God's statutes. Not his own thoughts. Not the church's religion. But the ways of God. The things of God. They need to be taught. They need to be communicated to those who were before ignorant. We need to do that. Go back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Let's look at verse 28. So far we've seen that the psalmist said that my soul cleaveth to the dust. We see that we've declared the ways of our ways to God, and he heard us, and we're asking for him to teach us his statutes.
And then look at verse 27, rather. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. You see here, he says, make me. So why would the psalmist ask for God to make him do something? That means because of his own accord, he won't. Have you ever been made to do something? Huh? Yes. Have you been in a position where you've had to make somebody do something? Absolutely. Okay? Isn't that an arduous task at times? Especially when you're dealing with what? A strong-willed person, right? Or someone who doesn't want to do that, or to go here, or to go there. All right? Those of you that are maybe a little bit older, or you may have had some experience with this, anybody ever dealt with a mule? Okay? Or a donkey? Okay? You wives are saying, yeah, my husband every day, okay? Right? Yeah, amen. I saw a couple of elbow pokes around. If I were sitting by my wife, I'd get one too, so don't worry about it. But yeah, I mean, right? Stubborn creatures. My goodness. You can't hardly make them do anything, can you? No, it takes a lot of coercion, doesn't it? But the psalmist says here, he's asking God, he says, God, make me to understand. In other words, he says, in my natural state, I don't look after you. You know what the Bible says that we don't seek God. We don't look for God. We don't, in our flesh, we don't want to go after God. We don't even want to retain him in our thoughts as lost people, as wicked people. But the psalmist says, to make me to understand. Now, as I looked at the word understand, this is what I found, and this is so amazing, because it's something I have said for years, but I never equated it to this word. So here it is. To have the same idea as the person who speaks. Yeah. Make me to understand. In other words, God, make me to have the same ideas as you. Make my thoughts line up with your thoughts. And my ways line up with your ways. And my desires line up with your desires. And my life line up with your life. And my mind line up with the mind of Christ. Amen. This is understanding. Amen. I've preached this and taught this for years. And as I read this word, I'm like, duh. Hello? Yes. Yes, he says, make me. He says, God, I don't think like you, and I don't act like you, and I don't live like you. Make me. Make me line up with you. He says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. You know, when we line up with God, that's the right place to be. Isn't it? And did you notice what he says? He says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So he says, line me up with you. What will happen? So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. You notice how we talk about him when we line up with him? And who do we talk about when we don't line up with him? Me. Because we love me. Well, you love you, I love me. Right? And if you love me too, that's great. I mean, I love you too. That's wonderful. But you know what? Isn't that the truth? Yeah. What is every human being focused on? Themselves. We're our favorite person, aren't we? Self-preservation is a good, you know, that's a good instinct. I like that. That's all right. And listen, but God says, no, when we line up with him, we talk about him. Remember, we'd already talked about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
If our heart is single, if it's focused on God, what are we going to talk about? God. If we have the same ideas of the person who's speaking, if we're lined up with him, then we're going to talk about him. That's what the psalmist is saying. He says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Solomon was trying to get this point across to his son. Proverbs chapter 2. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. So what's he asking his son to do? Give up himself and line up with him. Receive my words. Hide my commandments. Incline thine ear. Apply thine heart. Isn't that what we need to do in order to line up with God? We do. Hey, we got to get ourselves out of the way. He says in verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. When? When we line up with him. When we want it. Until you want to line up with God, you're not going to line up with God. Until you say, like the psalmist said in Psalm 119, make me to understand. We won't understand. We won't. We have to be made to. Because we in our natural state are not capable of such. He's got to help us. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Out of his mouth. To have the same ideas as the person who speaks. It works. It lines up. It doesn't get any better than this. It's the wonderful word of God. Proverbs 28:5 says, evil men understand not judgment. Why? Because they're evil. But they that seek the Lord understand all things. Why? Because they're looking for God. Isaiah 6 verses 8 through 10, it says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Remember I talked about Isaiah having the coal put on his mouth because he was a man of unclean lips. And he said, this is that passage of scripture in Isaiah 6. It says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. Now, you see, why am I reading this passage of scripture? This passage of scripture is quoted 4 or 5 times in the New Testament. Yeah, it's amazing. He says this, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Now, Jesus quoted this a couple times in the Gospels, and it's also quoted in Acts, and I believe also in Romans, by Paul. Listen, what does that mean? It means that there were some that were not going to line up with God. They weren't going to understand. And there were some that were those that were believers. It says, and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. But when we understand and we line up with God, that's when conversion happens. When we agree with God that we're sinners and he's the Savior, that's when salvation happens. But if you won't admit that you're a sinner, you can't be saved. We've got to line up with him. We've got to be made to understand. Hebrews 11, We know that faith. Oh, let me get to Matthew, because this is where Jesus quotes this. Matthew 16. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it to you concerning the bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See, they didn't understand. You see, God wants us to understand, but not until we line up with him. You see, many times the disciples had their own way about them. Remember at the well? And he had to tell them, say, hey, open up your eyes. I gave you several opportunities to witness to people, and I had to tell the woman, and she, newly saved, went into town and brought the people out, and many of them believed. But you went to town, you didn't tell anybody. You probably passed the woman in the way and didn't tell her. I had to do all the work. Hello? Line up with me, guys. You're blind. Remember when they were on the sea and the storm came up? Okay, hello. Jesus, the Son of God, is in the boat. You're just fine. Okay, let's make that logical connection there. He's in the boat. You're not going to sink. Master, carest thou not that we perish? No, guys, I really don't care if you die or not. I mean, really? Yes, he does. He says, hey, where's your faith? You got no faith. We've got to line up with him. Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith. What is faith? Lining up with God. Lining up with God. Just say, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. We're done here. I've got no problem with it. Because of faith. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Is that your heart's prayer? Do you really want to line up with God? Do you really want to understand, to come to his point of view, having the same ideas as he has, having the same desires as he has? That's understanding. Make me to understand. Make me to understand. How does that happen? Well, it happens by the word of God. Proverbs 16 says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. How do we avoid this? Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Yeah. We're lining up with him. That's how it works. So as we look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 119, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. We need to be made alive through the word of God. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. We need to be instructed of things that we were before ignorant of through the word of God. And then understand, we've got to come and have the same ideas as he has. How do we do that? Help make me to understand the way of thy precepts. How about this verse? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Yeah.
We've got to learn to line up with God. And if we do, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Yeah. Let's talk about Jesus. The Lord of Lords is He. Right? Let's talk about Him more and more. We need to talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to have those words in our mouth. And that's only going to happen when we understand. And these things can only be understood through the Word of God. Hey folks, it's a wonderful book. It's the wonderful Word of God. And we get a chance. We have an opportunity to line up with Him, His thoughts, His ways, His doings. Because He is the one that directs our path.